They were still at least an hour east of the stacks, but Margue could not help scanning below for the life raft. She had no idea how big it would look from whatever altitude they were flying. Dark dots appeared on the sea.
Those are the stacks!
Margue stared at them, a scatter of tall black rocks whose height above the water was hard to judge in this flat light. The plane lost altitude again in a sudden lurch.
We'll be over Stack Island 3 in an hour.
The stacks looked impossibly forbidding. Too tall, too narrow on top, too bleak. She'd read the cubes, but it still seemed ridiculous that Fleet had put bases here. The plane droned on, and the stacks rose up and sank, appearing and disappearing. A total of 98 visible at high tide, 117 at low, according to the cube. Some so small that not even an air car could land vertically on top. They left the stacks behind, and Margue stared at the sea from her side of the craft with more intensity.
Signal! I got a beacon! And confirmation from upstairs!
The plane heeled on one wing, and Margue gulped her stomach back into place. When she laid her forehead on the window, the glass felt colder than before. The Major spotted it first, and the pilot swung the plane around again. Now she saw the little yellow chip on the gray-green sea. She could not imagine what it must be like.
All right, we're going down.
Margue clamped her jaw shut.
Going down? Is something wrong with the plane?
The Major caught her eye.
It's all right, Ensign. This is a seaplane, remember? It can land on the water.
Water, yes. In a protected lagoon, shallow and calm. Margue hadn't known any aircraft could land on open ocean without sinking. She wasn't sure she believed it.
Hood's on!
Margue plucked the hood of her PPU from its curl around her neck and put it on, wondering why this precaution if it was so safe. She put her hands into the gloves, too, and made sure the wrist and boot grapples were locked back. She peered out. They were much lower now, and she could see that the surface of the ocean heaved slowly in broad swells, reflecting the bright yellow canopy of the life raft. Through that clear, quiet water, she saw something swimming. Some long, narrow shapes.
Oh, isn't this exciting? A most excellent adventure. My first water landing in an aircraft.
Her seatmate didn't look frightened at all. Margue was scared, though she wasn't going to admit it.
Of course, if we come in too fast or too steeply, we'll be killed, which would be a shame. Let me see. This planet's gravitational attraction is 1/12,000 that of Earth, and that means...
Margue closed her ears. She wanted to close her eyes, but she could not look away from the water's surface. The smooth water looked less smooth the closer they came. The safety harness dug in as the plane lurched and swayed. The plane slowed, settling in the water. She could feel the movement of the ocean take over from the movement of the air, lifting and dropping the plane in a leisurely oscillation. The inboard engine on her side stopped, and her window cleared. She remembered the briefing, that in event of an emergency landing, the craft would keep two engines going, with the ducts adjusted to minimize blast on the escape rafts. Presumably, the same technique would keep the prop blast from blowing this life raft away. As they rose on the swell, she could see the yellow canopy of the life raft in the distance.
All right, we don't have current weather data. MetSat 4 is down again. And although it looks dead calm now, I don't trust it. We're not going to be down 1 second longer than we have to be. You'll all do exactly what my crew chief tells you.
The crew chief beckoned to them. The professor climbed out and let Margue into the aisle after the Major had gone past.
Major, you and the ensign will need to hang on to this line. Steady.
Margue wrapped her gloved hands around the rope. Line. Whatever they wanted to call it, it was rope to her, familiar from the family farm. The Major, ahead of her, blocked half her view of the outside, but she could see water not that far below, and nothing but water to the horizon. She shivered in spite of her PPU.
Why not just tie the rope to the plane?
Sir, we never secure the aircraft to something like the raft. Should it capsize?
It's a life raft. It's made to not capsize. I shouldn't have to stand here holding a stupid rope.
Right, sir. Just let me take that a moment.
The crew chief took the rope from the Major, passed the slack to Margue, and then back to the professor, who had come along without being asked. The canopy flap opened. A head poked out, shrouded in a PPU hood. Margu could see the strain on the face.
Who are you? Chief Stivers, and you are the missing Corporal Meharry?
They've reported me missing? I was supposed to be dead.
Where's Commander Bakarian?
She's here.
Meharry pushed the canopy flap farther to the side. Margu couldn't see what that revealed, but the Major stiffened.
She's hurt.
She's dead, sir.
What? There'll have to be an investigation.
Yes, sir, but first, sir...
No buts, Corporal. Chief, Stivers, you will place this man under arrest.
Sir, he's been on a lifeboat for days. He needs care.
He's a material witness, if not a murderer. Under arrest, Chief, at once.
We have to get him aboard first.
And the deceased, and the raft.
Sir, I'll have to ask the pilot, Officer Galvin. It's not going to be easy to get the raft aboard safely.
We can't leave valuable evidence at the scene.
First, we get that man on board. He's been adrift for days in freezing weather. It's a wonder he's still alive. Major, you take that line. Professor, get back to your seat for now.
As the pilot ordered, Margu and the Major each took a line and wrapped it around a projecting knob inside the aircraft. The pilot had a name for the knob, but Margu ignored that and concentrated instead on the need to keep the line taut and the raft snugged up to the aircraft. The co-pilot and the crew chief helped Corporal Meharry clamber over the raft's inflated rim and into the plane. He was haggard and pale. When he tried to stand, he staggered against the bulkhead. The co-pilot and crew chief half carried him back to the seats and draped him over two of them. Professor Aderson bustled over.
Ensign, get in that raft and prepare the commander's body for removal.
Margu stared at him, but swallowed the "me, sir" that almost came out. She glanced at the co-pilot, hoping he would say something, that he was doing something to the corporal's PPU. She had never envisioned herself clambering into a blood-smeared life raft in the middle of a vast ocean to retrieve the dead body of a murder victim. Gingerly, she eased over the inflated rim and into the raft. The fabric dipped and shifted under her. She felt very insecure. She had seen dead bodies before. She had seen dead bodies days old, for that matter. But that had been on dry land, in the warm, dry climate of her homeland. She had never seen so much water in her life, and to be bobbing up and down in a raft in the middle of the ocean with a cold, stiff body terrified her. When she looked back at the plane, it looked much smaller, entirely too small to be reassuring when everything else was water. The next thing she noticed was the smell. Cold had retarded decay, but there was a sickening odor of human filth and death both, held in by the canopy. As quickly as she could, Margu unfastened the canopy tabs and rolled it back. Even the aircraft fumes were better than this. Bakarian's body. She tried not to look at it, especially not the ruin of the face. But it was heavy. The woman had been both taller and heavier than Margu, and she could not get the right leverage to move it.
Hurry up, Ensign!
Sorry, sir.
Margu struggled to unlash the webbing that held Bakarian's body still. She got the last one loose, and the next swell rolled the body toward her. When she tried to lift, the additional weight pressed her knees into the raft floor, which sank, and the body rolled into the depression. It would have been hard enough on a solid support, but she had none. The professor had reappeared in the aircraft's hatch.
Tie a line around her and we'll haul from here.
Don't be ridiculous. All she has to do is lift and slide the body across.
No, she'll need the basket. Hang on, Ensign, be right back.
The crew chief, who had come forward, now disappeared back into the plane.
True. I don't think much of your initiative.
Behind the Major, the professor winked at her. The crew chief reappeared with a bright orange object that looked like a long, skinny basket. He slid it over the rim of the life raft to her.
Here you go, Ensign. Ever used one of these? No? Well, just roll the body into it, then hook those lashings over.
Margu positioned one edge of the basket thing next to the corpse.
Now go to the other side and give it a push.
Stay where you are. Your weight will make it roll toward you.
Keep out of this.
It's simple physics. A child could see. Her weight depresses the life raft floor and the corpse rolls.
A gentle swell lifted her up, then dropped her, and the corpse rolled into the basket. Margu hooked the lashings quickly, then glanced back at the plane. A line of cold green water widened between her and the plane. The two men argued in the doorway, hands waving, and the rope ran smoothly out between them. The crew chief lunged past them and grabbed the trailing line.
Idiots! Don't pull, Ensign! We won't lose you!
Even as he said it, an end of rope slipped out and splashed into the water. Panic gripped her again, until she remembered the line attached to the berry.
What's going on, Kerr? We need to get back in the air sometime this century. Swell's picking up, if you hadn't noticed.
Loose line, sir. Now, Major, if you'll take hold behind me, and then you, Professor, let's bring her in.
Margue made herself look away from the plane and rechecked the lashings on the basket. Then she began hauling in the rope attached to the basket. Something yanked on it hard, and she fetched up against the life raft's inflated rim.
Hurry up, Ensign! The pilot wants us to leave!
Yes, sir.
Whatever it was yanked again, putting a sharp crease in the inflated rim. Then it let go, and she fell back into the smelly slime of the lifeboat floor. She reeled the line in, hand over hand, and was able to toss the dripping end into the hatch when the raft bumped the plane again.
All right, Major, if you'll let go of this line, sir, and take hold of that one.
Margue did her best to lift the ends of the berry unit over the inflated rim as the Major pulled, and after some minutes of struggle, the corpse was aboard the plane. Margue crawled out after it, her knees shaking. The plane might be tiny compared to the sea, but it was more solid than the life raft. She pulled herself upright and hoped no one had noticed her fear as the co-pilot came forward and slid into his seat.